We want to welcome everyone today. We are starting out today in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We will probably look at verses 3 through 10 and maybe a little bit more. I'm not sure. Maybe jump to verse 16. But it's a message that Charles Swindoll has titled for me. And it's a chapter in his book simply called David. That's the book. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book that he has written. But the title of today's message is his title. And it's called David and the Dwarf. And so we're going to look at David and the Dwarf, part one. And our goal today is to define and describe the giants that we face in life. And then identify who your Goliath is. Who or what it is, set of circumstances. You know, Patty and I in the last 4 years or so have done more counseling than we have ever done. And when you're sharing with folks in counseling or sharing with folks in their lives or prayer requests or whatever, and in my life and in everybody's life, we all have giants. We have situations or circumstances that are giants. And you might say, well, Brother Leo, I don't think I've got one of those. And you may not, but when we look at how and who Goliath was, you may figure you do have one or two. And we're going to look at the biblical strategy in dealing with giants. And it's very simple. It's only two steps. Number one, you got to face him. And number two, you got to slay him. You don't tolerate him. You don't let him hang around. Because then other things start happening, and I'll show you that in the scripture today. So, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 3, it says this. The Philistine stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them at Shokah. And this is a vast canyon with two slopes, and it's about a mile wide. So, I want you to think it's like an amphitheater with tens of thousands of Philistine warriors over here and 10,000 Israeli soldiers over here and a mile of flat, even plain with not much on it but dust and rocks between them where they could choose to do battle. But the culture of the day was you didn't have to do that. You could send out one champion for your side and one champion for the other. Instead of a bunch of people getting killed, one got killed, and whoever won, your army won. And you took the spoils of victory. And so in verse 4, there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Pretty much everybody agrees on this now. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall. So he was 9 feet 9 inches tall when the average Philistine or Israeli was about 5 foot 4 inches tall. So almost twice the size, maybe somewhere around 500 pounds. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. That's heavy, leathered, intertwined armor, body armor. The weight of the coat was about 200 pounds, and he had brass upon his legs and brass between his shoulder, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels, which was about 25 pounds. So the head of the spear was 25 pounds. That would not be easy to throw. And on top of all that, one bearing a shield went before him. So one guy with this huge shield always ran in front of Goliath. So any arrows or anything got blocked by the shield bearer. So he's going to be hard to handle. Verse 8, he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose you a man, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail and kill him, then you will be our servants. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And those Israeli soldiers probably looked at each other and they said, as soon as we find a man, we're going to send one out there. But so far, we ain't found a man. That's a saying in the mountains. I'd have a buddy like Ken that would come work on stuff with me around the house. And he was a great woodworker. And he'd always, his name was Lynn Forrester. I love this guy, humble guy. And he'd look at a project and he'd say, Brother Leo, a man could do this, you know, a man could do it this way. Brother Leo, a man could, you know, get his lumber and we could do it that way. And I'd say, Lynn, well, as soon as you find us a man, let's see what he can do. And so he kept saying, let's send out a man. And look at what it says. And the whole story is beautiful. And I'll probably try to teach the whole thing, if the Lord allows, in the weeks ahead. And verse 16, it says, the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. So for 40 days, twice a day, he came out, tormented, screamed, hollered, and ridiculed the nation of Israel. That's who Swindoll calls a dwarf, and everybody else calls a giant. His name is Goliath. Let's go to the Lord. Father, as we come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin. And Lord Jesus, I confess this to you in my prayer closet, just me and you out loud, because that's what your word says. And Father, I want to thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses me of sin. And Father, today I need an anointing and a filling of your Holy Spirit to teach this word, because we need not the words of a man. We need the word of God through these verses and your wisdom. And I pray your Holy Spirit will speak to these folks in a special way. And I pray your Holy Spirit will change me, Lord, so that one Sunday when I get up here to confess that I have confessed sin to you the previous week, it might not be the same old sins and strongholds and giants that have held over my life way longer than they should. So, Father, I pray for your anointing of the Spirit on me and all of us to receive your word today and to be touched by your word and to be spoken to out of your love. Holy Spirit, please just take over. In your glorious name, Father, we just ask. We ask that you will guide this service in a special way. Father, we thank you and we praise you this day. Holy Spirit, lead us. Amen. All right, 1 Samuel 17, verse 4 says this. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches tall, wore about 200 pounds of armor, had a shield bearer in front of him, had weapons that weighed more than most people could pick up, much less throw and yield and handle. And this giant's name was Goliath. So first, we've got to define and describe who or what is a giant in our life. And it's very simple. A giant in the life of a Christian, or a giant in my life or in your life, is anyone or anything or any situation that is stronger and more powerful than I am. That's what the giant is. The giant is something that I cannot handle, nor can I defeat it in my own strength or with my own wisdom or strategy or fleshly weapons. So grab hold of that. Now, if you're sitting here and you're saying I have no giants because I can handle anything, or if you're listening on this website and you're saying, you know, I can handle anything, well then, my friend, that's a giant, because you've been deceived. And God has shown you mercy for a lot of years. And God has blessed you. Because, my friend, but for the grace of God, we're all here today, whether we're lost or whether we're saved. So I just want to thank Jesus that he does this. Now, giants intimidate. They cause fear. They cause anxiety. Look at what the scripture says in verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. In verse 24, and when all the men of Israel, when they saw the giant Goliath, they fled from him and were sore afraid. So giants intimidate, they cause fear, they cause anxiety. But notice what else they do. Now this is a giant, verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Giants don't just show up once and then they leave. Let me tell you what a giant is in your life. They are persistent. They are relentless. Every day, all through the day, they're intimidating. They're shouting. They're sneering. They're hammering your mind, your heart, and your emotions. So if something dominates your thoughts with worry and anxiety, something dominates your thoughts day after day, night after night, with fear robbing you of the joy of your salvation, that's a giant. Maybe a person and the way you feel about that person, maybe a person that attacks you in certain ways, maybe a set of circumstances, maybe a situation, maybe what we call a trial or a tribulation. But if there's something hanging over you, and hanging over you, and hanging over you, you go ahead and name whatever that thing is, Goliath. That's your Goliath. That's my Goliath. That's the kind of situation that we're dealing with. Now let me show you something in the Hebrew that you might not pick up in the scriptures. In verse 25 it actually says this. It says, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man? They're talking to David. Have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel, he is come up. Now, that term come up means a drawing closer and closer each day. It meant that the first time he challenged on day one, he was about 300 yards away from him. But since they never sent anybody out to face him, every day he got a little bit closer and closer. Now he's 20 yards from the camp. So what I want you to understand about a giant is this. The longer you tolerate him, they enlarge themselves, they take over more and more of your territory, and they take over more and more of your life. So that's why I'm going to show you in a moment. You got to face him and then you got to slay him. You don't allow him to linger. Now our problem is we go out in our own strength, with our own strategy, with our own weapons, and we try to fight him and we fail. And he kicks us one good and he whips us. And so you know what we do after that? We quit facing him. We go sit in a corner and we just let him continue to dominate our thoughts and dominate our lives. And when he's doing that, when he's taking over your thoughts and he's dominating your thoughts, he derails your faith. And you say, Brother Leo, what does that mean? He gets your mind off of God. And your mind starts focusing on the giant. Now I'm going to give you some strategies on this, but you quit praying. Or when you pray, you start out to pray and then your mind goes over to the giant again. And instead of saying Jesus, 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 you're saying Goliath, Goliath, Goliath. And he'll dominate every area of your life. So let me show you what he tries to do. Go to Isaiah 26. Go to Isaiah 26 and look at what the scripture says. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, the scripture says this. I'm going to read verse 3 and 4. And this is what the giants rob you of. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed and focused on the Lord, because he trusts in the Lord. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So what does the giant do? The giant robs you of focusing on the Lord. The giant robs you of focusing on the strength of the Lord. And all you start doing is focusing on the dilemma or the problem or the situation that you're facing. And as you do that, you start focusing on your own strength. And you're not focusing on the strength of the Lord and trusting in Him. Now, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but the bottom line is this. Swindoll says that it's not David versus the giant. It's David versus the dwarf, because David trusted on the power of God. God is omnipotent, and God's omnipotent power is undefeated. So when your focus is on God, you say, well, Brother Leo, how do I get my focus on God? You ask God, let me show you. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The first step in facing the giant, you got to get your mind focused where it needs to be. Just like playing a ball game. Your mind's got to be focused. Going to war, your mind's got to be focused. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3, Paul's talking about going into a battle. And he says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not battle in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are not human, they are not physical, but they are mighty and divine through God, to the pulling and casting down of evil strongholds and fortresses, and casting down imaginations, any thoughts, and every high prideful thought that exalts itself against the epinosis, my intimate relationship with God. And Lord, I need you to bring into captivity every one of my thoughts to the obedience of Christ. Brother Leo, what's that mean? That means this. Lord, here's Goliath. And here I am. Now, how am I supposed to think about this? How do you want me to think about this situation? Bring into my mind the thoughts you want me to think about how this situation's supposed to be handled, about what the first step is or the next step is. You got to lay your specific Goliath out before God, whatever situation or circumstance that is, and then you pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Lord Jesus, I want you to bring the way I think about this situation under your captivity and your obedience, and I want to think about this thing the way you want me to think about it. Because you know how we usually think about it? The way we think it's best to think about it. The way we think we can handle it. The way we think it needs to work out. And what the scripture is saying here is, bring my mind, you know, before I can bring Goliath into captivity, I got to allow God to bring my mind into captivity. And once I start thinking under the authority, submitting my mind, my thoughts, my plans unto God concerning this situation, and say, Lord, the one easy way, and this is how I do it, and I'll share with you some of my weapons, but they may not work for you. You got to have your own personal ones. But I try to say, Lord, my mind's a blank slate on this. I've thought about it enough. I'm going to take an eraser and just erase it out. Here's the situation, Lord. You start bringing your thoughts in. Because you know what man does horizontally? We'll run in circles. We'll have 10,000 thoughts. We confuse ourselves. We do. And you know why we're confusing ourselves? Because we can't handle it. We think we can handle it. And you know, if you can get yourself, and I'm going to tell you something, man, you got to practice this. You got to learn this. If you can get yourself where you just totally, really surrender the situation over to the Lord, those 10,000 thoughts will be taken out and one thought will be brought in, and man, you'll know it. You'll know it. You'll know it. It'll be a definitive thought. Now, I'm ahead of myself, but I want you to grab that. So we want to bring that. Look at what he said. Bring my mind and my thoughts into captivity under the obedience and to the submission of Jesus Christ. So go with me to 1 Samuel 17. jump back in here as we face Goliath the giant, or Goliath the dwarf. However we need to look at. And I'm going to read to you again. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 11, it says, "When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." And then in verse 24, "All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were sore afraid." Fear, anxiety, and lack of faith will always cause you to retreat and run away from. Now, when it comes to the strategy of slaying a giant, the first thing you got to do, you got to face the giant. You got to face it. Patty and I, May 6th, we're married 34 years. Been in the ministry 33 of those years. And you would not believe how many marriages, how many individuals, and how many families never face the giant. There's a giant in their home destroying their marriage. Maybe three or four of them. Three or four giants in their home destroying their families. Three or four giants in an individual's life destroying his life or destroying her life. And you know how they deal with it? By not dealing with it. Never talking about it. Never bringing him up, never naming him. They don't know if his name's Goliath or not. They knew it was Goliath 30 years ago, but when they quit dealing with Goliath, they don't even want to hear his name mentioned. So notice what 10,000 Israeli soldiers did for 40 days. Verse 24, they ran away from him in fear. And guess what happened? Look at what it says, verse 16. "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Let me give you a principle about the giant. While you're running away from him, he ain't going nowhere. He's going to stay around. He's going to stay there. You're either going to deal with him and find victory, or you're going to just sit in the corner and be miserable. It's your choice. Well, Brother Leo, I'm just always going to be the way I am. Oh, no, my dear friend. Not if you have faith in the power of Jesus Christ to change you. Not if you have faith in the power of Jesus Christ to change this situation. Not if you have the faith in the power of Jesus Christ to change the circumstance. Well, Brother Leo, what if the circumstances never change? Then you have faith in the power of Jesus Christ to change you and lift you above the circumstance. He's not going to violate somebody's free will. But boy, he can change me. He can do a work in my life. And you know what happens when he does the work in your life? The giant becomes a dwarf. The waves that knock you down, you start walking on. And so the giant would not leave for 40 days and 40 nights. So the first step is you've got to face the giant. Now, go to 1 Samuel 17, verse 38. And David goes to Saul and he says, "I'm ready to fight Goliath." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And David attempted to walk out the tent. He had not proved it. He'd never used this equipment before. And David said unto Saul, "Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David took all that armor off. And well, the first thing is, it was believed Saul was over 6 foot. So all that stuff didn't even fit David. And so he's trying to clang out the tent, and he can't even get out the tent. He's falling all over the outfit that Saul's hanging on him to go out there and face Goliath. So first principle, when you face Goliath, you can't use anybody else's weapons. You're going to have to face him alone. And you're going to have to face him with your own weapons. You say, well, Brother Leo, I ain't got no weapons. Well, I'm telling you, you better go get some. That's what we've been preaching 30 years. You got to get alone with the Lord on a daily basis. You got to build yourself up. You know, because you don't know if you're going to get that phone call tomorrow. You don't know when the next hurricane's going to blow through your life. You don't know when the next Goliath's going to knock on your door. And then you fall apart. Because you're not equipped. You have not regularly put on the armor of God. And you bring a lot of giants into your life. And you bring a lot of hurricanes in your life. Because of the same reason that could have been avoided. If you'd been operating under the strength and the wisdom of God. So you better get some. Now, I mean, that's some good news. The first bit of good news is you got to face Goliath alone. And the second bit of good news is you got to bring your own weapon. And you got to be familiar with them, and you got to know how effective they are. Say, Brother Lil, that's not good news. Well, it's good news because it's biblical principles. Now, if it's not good news because you can't apply this to your life personally, well, it's not too late. And we'll get into that. So look at what the scripture says. It said in verse 40, he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So he had 3 weapons. He had a staff, he had his sling, and he also had 5 stones in the shepherd's bag. Now you say, Brother Leo, was he familiar with those weapons? Had he ever used them before? Certainly he had used them before. If you read in verse 33, Saul says to David, you are not able to go up against this Philistine giant to fight him. You're only 15 years old. This guy is a man of war. He's been fighting all his life. And David said unto Saul, I have kept my father's sheep since I was about 6 or 7 years old. One day there came a lion, another day there came a bear, and they took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after them. I chased those suckers down. I smote them. I delivered it out of his mouth, saved the lamb alive, and when he arose against me, I grabbed the old lion by the beard, and I smote him, and I slew him. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised giant Philistine's going to be just like one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, you go and the Lord be with you. So why'd he choose those weapons? He'd used them before. He'd already used those weapons. God had helped him defeat a bear and a lion. Amen. David had a trophy room at home. He had the paw of a bear in one, and the paw of the bear sitting there, and he had the skull of a lion. And he's about to add the head of a giant. Because he cuts his head off, takes him home. You know, think about all your trophies, you know, most valuable this and best defensive player, you know, fastest car, biggest fish, lowest round of golf. You keep all that stuff, and what does it do? It reminds you of past success. And so if you got to go golf again, you figure, hey, I won a tournament before, I might can win again. Hey, I can play this sport before, I was MVP or something, or whatever it is, it reminds you of past success. So you keep these things. Well, that's the same thing David did. The only deal is it reminded him of the past success that God had won for him. For a lot of us, our problem is we can't look back and say, God healed me here. God delivered me here. God did this for our family there. Or maybe He has done all those things, but you're not slowing down enough in life to recognize Him and thank Him for it. Every time God did something great for the children of Israel, the Lord said, I want you to make a pile of stones right here. And when your children or your grandchildren ask you, what be these stones? You are to say to them, this is the day God parted the Red Sea, and this is where He did it. This is the day God parted the River Jericho. This is the day God destroyed the Egyptian army. This is the day God brought manna into the camp. This is the day God brought water out of the rock. This is the spot where God fed us with quail. My friend, we don't remember all the good things God has done for us. And so it derails our faith when we're going into another battle. We act like, oh my goodness, we're not going to make it this time. Well, you made it last time, due to the grace of God. He'll get you through again. And you got to draw on those things. So David is going to trust. Look at what David says in verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. So he takes his staff, he takes his stones, he takes his sling, and he goes out toward David. And in verse, let's see, we're in verse 48, the scripture says this, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine, and David put his hand in his bag, he took out a stone, and he slung it, and I want you to stop right there. What is this? This is David facing the giant? Certainly. But these are David's actions of faith. Just write that down. This is David's actions of faith. David went out to meet the giant. He took the stone out. He put it in the sling. And he slung it. You say, Brother Leo, I'm facing this situation, and I don't know what to do. I'm facing this situation. I don't know what steps to take. Well, I want you to understand something. Faith, true faith, takes action. And it takes action with determined certainty. And you get that determined certainty from God. God will tell you exactly what to do. He'll tell you exactly what steps to take. And if you don't know yet, don't do anything. You wait till God tells you. But you got to seek the wisdom of God. It goes back to how we began a few moments ago, where you say, Lord Jesus, I need to think about this situation. You put the thoughts in my mind and determine the thoughts for me to think about this situation. And in some of those thoughts, He's going to tell you, all right, this is step one. I want you to take it. Then when you take that, He'll show you step two. Or there are sometimes in my life, He goes, Leo, you just be still. Know that I'm God. I'm going to handle this. Now, that's simple. You may want to complicate it, but it's simple and it's true. But you've got to be persistent. And you've got to keep seeking God and allow Him to tell you what steps to take. Now, let me read to you again in verse 49. David put his hand in the bag. He took the stone and he slung it. Now, that was David's part. This next part C, this is God's part. The stone whirled through the air and hit the giant right in the forehead. David threw the stone, but God directed his path. All right, you got to grab hold of that. I bet he had this much. Now, David, I don't think David said, I hit him right there below the helmet and above the face guard by my great accuracy. I think he said, God slay the giant. God directed the stone. As Chuck Swindoll says, it went. This is how he paints the picture. He goes, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Got any more giants? That's how Swindoll writes. After the thud, he said, David looked at the Philistine, said, next. Got any more big mouth giants? Send them out. I got four more stones because I know that boy got four more brothers. But notice, they could feel the ground trembling because those other four boys, they started running now. And look at what he did. Verse 50, David prevailed, smote the Philistine and slew him with his own sword. And David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head. You got to face them and you got to slay them in the power of Jesus Christ. Now, Swindoll's the one that makes that point. And it's total conjecture. But even when David became king, he said, I really believe he had a trophy room where he had the paw of a lion, the paw of a bear, the skull of a lion, and the head of a giant. To remind him of God's power in his life. Now, I want to show you one more key in closing. He had four weapons I've already told you about. He had the staff, he had the stones, and he had the sling. But look in verse 45, it says this. Then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. I will smite you. I will take your head from you. I will give your carcasses to the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. My friend, you've got to come to a place in your life where you surrender this battle with Goliath totally over to God, and you are going to totally and absolutely depend on, expect, and trust in God's power to do something about the giant. Now, you might have to walk out there. You may have to swoosh around the sling, but God will deliver the fatal blow. And he'll give you that victory because he wants you to have that victory, and you're going to glorify God. But notice what happened. And it came to pass that as that Philistine arose and drew nigh to meet David, David ran, and he ran faster toward the army of the Philistine, and he put the stone in his hand. David started walking, then he started running. Then he started speaking, and then he started shouting. And as he got louder and ran faster, he was going toward the giant, not away from him. Amen. And that's the only way you're going to get victory. There's a lot of Christians going to die and take their giants right to the judgment seat of Christ, when they could have been slayed in the power of the Lord. Their lives could have been changed. The spoken word of faith. The staff, the stones, the sling, and the spoken words of faith. Don't tell God how big your giant is. Tell your giant how big your God is. And you got to speak it out loud. God gave you a voice, not just to speak to others, but to speak to him and to speak to yourself. And I'm going to tell you something. Just reading these verses, what David said to that Philistine,
you can read those out loud about whatever you're facing. And you may get up tomorrow morning and you might take something upon you. You need to stand up and say, Lord, I want you to, I'm going to say two things right now. Right now, Lord, I want you to take my thoughts captive. I surrender my thoughts to you. And I want you to put into my mind the way you want me thinking about this. And number two, Lord, the battle's not mine, it's yours. Lord, the battle's not mine, it's yours. And you're omnipotent and you're all powerful. And you who created universes that we've not seen yet, you can handle this. And you say, giant, you are nowhere close as big as my God. And Lord, I'm asking you for deliverance today. I'm asking you for victory today. And I want to just go ahead and say thank you, Lord Jesus, for victory over this in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You start saying that stuff, my friend, it will invigorate your heart, your soul, and your mind. I didn't read to you the part where when David first got to the camp, he heard the war cry. Every morning as the Philistine came, the Israelis rose up and made their war cry. But then they never faced the giant. Swindoll says that's like a lot of Christians. They know all the right things to say. But they're never winning any battles. It's like I was preaching a couple weeks ago where, oh yeah, I know the Lord won't put on us more winged bear. There's no victory in that. So, the decision is yours. It's either, and you can put your name there where David is. It's either Leo versus the giant or Leo versus the dwarf. That giant's as big as I want to make him or as small as I can make him with the perspective and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And as Judy plays softly, I'm going to ask you and to say, Lord Jesus, I'm in a battle, whatever it may be. And just say, Lord, this battle's not mine, it's yours. The battle is the Lord's, you will prevail. And in just a few moments, that's all I want you to do. Just think of any kind of battle you may be in and say, Lord Jesus, the battle is yours. You will prevail. And say, Lord, in this particular battle and situation, I offer my mind and my thoughts up to you. Father, take over my mind. Don't help me to think about it the way you want me to think about it. Take over and bring your perspective and your thoughts into my mind about this situation. So bring your thoughts before the Lord and your confession. This battle is yours, Lord Jesus. You will prevail. With heads bowed and eyes closed, spend a few moments with Jesus.